Hello, welcome once again to Top Stories for another top story from a past issue of the Bugle podcast. I am Andy Zaltzman. In September 2019, the UK and the USA were in a race to be crowned Most Rubbish Nation on Earth, always a hotly contested title and always with some contentious judging. Nish Kumar and Josh Gondelman join me to help weigh up exactly who was winning stroke losing. This is from issue 4123 of the Bugle, entitled 7 Days of Transatlantic Madness. Top story this week. Well, we got a very special top story section this week. We're going to have a shootout between Britain and America. Whose country has had the more ridiculous week? Which national ball of resentment-fueled fury has been the more idiotic over the past 7 days? This has been one of those weeks in which I found myself shielding my children, aged 12 and 10, from television and newspapers for fear of what they might see, and making them watch Nightmare on Elm Street instead, just setting them up with the entire series of Saw movies because they'll be slightly less terrifying and have the added bonus of being actually pretend. Also, harrowingly, it was a week in which the cricket season ended, so there's really no escape from what has been happening. Representing the UK, Nish Kumar. Representing the USA, Josh Gondelman. Nish, do you want to lay a claim for Britain having had the most ridiculous week?
Well, I mean, I don't even know where to start. It's the competition that no one wants to win or lose. On Tuesday morning, the Supreme Court ruled that Boris Johnson's proroguing of Parliament was unlawful, and so Parliament had to go back in and sit again. This was also like the deluge of bad news that's been coming out, particularly for our Prime Minister. And I use those words like as in our Prime Minister at time of recording. Who knows what the has happened now? But it's been a deluge of bad news because over the weekend, there was also a story that broke that suggested that he had provided favours for a, and this is the euphemism that was constantly being used, close friend. This close friend was a young woman who the newspapers delightedly reported had a pole dancing pole in her flat. And listen, obviously, we don't know that there was anything else going on, but with Boris Johnson's history, I mean, the man loves to f***. If there's one thing that Boris Johnson loves to do, it's fuck, be it women or the country. The man likes to get his end away. So the less said about that, the better. Anyway, on Tuesday, they ruled that the Parliament was going to be prorogued. And just, I'd like to take a moment just to briefly thank the Supreme Court for doing it on Tuesday, which is the day before I record my television show, thus giving us a little bit more time to process the insanity of the week. Then, while we were actually recording on Wednesday, Boris Johnson appeared in front of Parliament, and when asked to sort of take down the tone of the rhetoric, because the rhetoric has got out of control in this country during the referendum campaign. An MP, pro-Remain MP, Joe Cox, was assassinated by a man who later gave his name in the courtroom as being Freedom for Britain. And Boris Johnson was asked by a couple of female MPs to maybe take down the tone of the rhetoric. And there's two easy jobs in being British Prime Minister. I'm not saying that it's an easy job. It's a difficult job. But there are two things that it is easy to do when you're the Prime Minister of the UK. One is condemn violence. And the other is to stand outside Number 10 Downing Street waving. And Boris Johnson failed at the first one. And if we were to translate the extent to which he failed at the first one into the second one, it would result in him attempting to wave and then tripping over backwards, smashing through the door of Number 10, taking it off his hinges and squashing Larry the Downing Street cat.
But it's quite hard to see what he can do next to further debase our political system.
Take a shit on the Queen.
Well, I mean, let's not assume that has not already happened. Metaphorically, clearly it has happened. That's essentially what the proroguing was. He went and essentially, I mean, it's not entirely correct to say he bullshitted the Queen or lied to the Queen, but definitely did not necessarily provide the level of service the Queen has, would like to expect from her Prime Minister. This is one of the gravest accusations against Johnson. People said he embarrassed the Queen.
I mean, that is her husband's job.
Well, exactly. She's, 93? She's had 4 kids. She's been forced to parade around with the various despots and bastards of global politics. And she's been married to Prince Philip for 7 decades. She's immune to embarrassment. I think the only way he could really debase our politics further is November, Remembrance Day ceremony, masturbating onto the cenotaph.
We would never forget.
Never forget, indeed. I think that's really the only club left in his bag. The Supreme Court essentially called a thoroughly justifiable bullshit on Boris Johnson's proroguing of Parliament and said that it hadn't even happened because that's how wrong it was,
It
didn't exist, which I guess gave Boris Johnson a loophole. If people say, oh, that proroguing was, that was completely out of order, he'll say, what proroguing?
Yeah, it's
the political... Oh, no, it doesn't exist. It's... No, we're in a kind of God debate type situation.
It's the political equivalent of that series of Dallas that turned out to all be a dream.
As a result, the nation has continued to tear itself apart like... I'm running out of tearing itself apart similes. Like some overexcited wrapping paper that's been given itself, wrapped in itself as a birthday present. Mm-hmm. Will that do?
And now they've been pressed on this a few times. Johnson has refused to apologise for any of the things he said in Parliament, and he's continued to refer to the bill as a surrender bill and continued to use words like betrayal, which a lot of people are saying is sort of inflaming tensions. One of his advisers, Dominic Cummings, who is a was asked if there was a way
we've had enough of this technical legal terminology.
Oh, sorry.
I'm having trouble following from overseas.
He was asked again how we could possibly calm tensions. There's been a lot of talk about potential rioting. And he said the only way to calm these tensions and to prevent violence is to get Brexit done. So if somebody threatens you with violence, the only thing to do is to give in to their demands.
That's
has completely subverted my understanding of every action film that I've ever seen.
Johnson responded, as you would expect, with the contrition, dignity and even-handed, inclusive bridge-building open-mindedness of a drowning turd in a bucket of its own sick, and said that the ruling was wrong. Now, who are you going to believe on this, Nish? Who are you going to believe on this complicated legal matter? Are you going to believe 11 of the top judges in the entire United Kingdom, or a former journalist and proven bullshitter? That is a tough call, made even tougher when the former journalist and proven bullshitter was then supported by Michael Gove, a former journalist and proven bullshitter.
Michael Gove said of Boris Johnson this week that he was the Pep Guardiola of politics, with a reference to the current Manchester City and former Barcelona football manager Pep Guardiola, largely acclaimed as being one of the greatest football managers of all time. And at the time, everyone scoffed at this. But then later this week, Pep Guardiola defended Manchester City footballer Bernardo Silva for publicly sharing a racist cartoon. So the comparison might be more apt than we think.
When I first saw that, I didn't know, embarrassingly, who Pep Guardiola was. And I thought it was a misspelling that he was the Giardia of British politics. And I thought, yeah, that checks out. This guy gets it. And then I thought maybe it's the Girardellis of British politics. And I thought, you know, that's a pretty mediocre chocolate. I don't think that gets to it quite hard enough.
I think there are some very great similarities between Pep Guardiola and Boris Johnson. Their success is bankrolled by unaccountable behind-the-scenes plutocrats. It's true of Manchester City as a football club, true of the Conservative Party. Ceaseless passing is their hallmark of a football, in case of Guardiola's football teams, of the buck for Boris Johnson. They're both dependent on highly skilled people from other countries. Neither of them is very popular in Liverpool. Neither of them has been elected to his position by the British public. I mean, it's peas in a pod. They both belong a f*** of a lot away from Downing Street. And neither really wants Philip Hammond in their team. So,
that is your Sistine Chapel. That story hits exactly at the alignment of your interest of politics and sport.
Yes. I mean, to be fair to Guardiola, he has just unilaterally cancelled all of Man City's matches for the next 6 weeks. the only difference is results, essentially, in that Boris Johnson has lost 7 votes in a row in Parliament since he became Prime Minister, plus a fucking great court case. That is relegation form, which is something that Guardiola's never had to encounter in his career.
At this point, Boris Johnson being Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is like what would happen if I became in charge of the Ku Klux Klan, because everybody would be thinking, for God's sake, quit now. But the larger question is, how was this allowed to happen in the first place?
As you would expect in this day and age, the Supreme Court ruling provoked a wide range of reactions. Some claiming the justices were establishment stooges in the pay of the European Union, the evidence being, well, who needs evidence in something like that? You just feel it in your waters. Others stating that it was a rare example of Britain's vague, unwritten, nebulous constitution actually working for once in its non-existent life. And I even heard one man on a Five Live, BBC Five Live phone-in, wondering what gives a collection of 11 of our most senior experienced expert legal minds the right to rule on matters of law, saying, who elected these judges? What makes them better than me and you? Well, I mean, other than decades and decades of high-level legal experience, nothing, I guess. To be honest, if you are looking at that from that point of view, if you're looking at that Supreme Court ruling, I mean, you can argue about how our constitution should work, but if you're looking at that thinking, what gives these Supreme Court judges the right to pass their opinions on matters of law, then step away from any ballot box near you. Never pick up a pencil again. This is emphatically not your game.
It would be a hell of a bold gambit for someone who had just been found guilty of a crime in courtroom. Who elected you? Who are you to tell me that I can't take a shit on a train? Which god placed that power in your hands, sir?
Pulling off a full shirt just to reveal an only God can judge me full back tattoo.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that top story. There will be another one coming your way tomorrow. Now do go and listen to the latest issue of the Bugle podcast in your pod feed right now.
Hi, it's producer Chris from The Bugle here. Did you know that I have a new series of my podcast, Richie Firth Travel Hacker, out now? It's the show where Richie Firth and I talk about how to make travel better in our very special way. In this series, we discuss Lime Bikes, Teslas, the London Overground, and a whole bunch of other random stuff that possibly involves wheels or tracks or engines of some variety. God, what a hot sell this is. I mean, you must be so excited. Listen now.